Jesus would not have done that. Jesus would have honored. And the Bible says, and I you know what? And sometimes I would like to take a giant-sized family Bible and beat the tar out of the people that are talking that way, because it's just not what Jesus would do.
This is Hope for the Hurting. This is your host, Mark Dornbush. I'm here in Southern California. I hope today that I will be able to touch or meet some of the needs that you may have, because you wouldn't tune in unless something was going on that was causing you pain. And I hope that Hope for the Hurting will help you get from where you are now to a better place. Let's begin.
Hi, welcome to the show. This is your host for the next few minutes for Hope for the Hurting. I hope that some of the podcasts that you've listened to in the past have been an advantage to you and have given you some hope. I find it very interesting that many of the things that we do, especially when it comes to life in general, that we find ourselves in such a quandary of how to deal with certain things, because sometimes it's inconvenient or it's embarrassing to talk to somebody else about the problem. And then on the other hand, it seems interesting is that in the communities in which we travel, every one of you are probably different, in the communities that we travel, for instance, in the Christian community, people think and look a different way, or they talk, or they say that they talk. But sometimes they actually are worse in a lot of ways in regards to how they apply what they think they know or they have some kind of interest in dealing with a problem in someone's life, especially in our lives or your life or the lives of your family. I had something run across my desk, if you will, something that came to my attention that really shocked me. And I'm not sure that it's being talked about much. I only found a podcast, one person that was talking about it is a Brit, and he was talking about this very thing. And I thought it was interesting is that the double standard that we have in regards to understanding what people are going through and understanding parental situations sometimes gets exacerbated or gets totally out of sorts, if you will, when it comes to the Christian community. And it really aggravates the heck out of someone who I claim to be a person of faith. And I understand that the issue sometimes is so overwhelming because we go to platitudes or we go to something that we think that we know, especially when it comes to understanding each other. But I want to tell you something, those of you that are out there that are going to be listening to this today, is that there is hope for you and that it's life is not going to be over because this has happened. And I'm not sure that it makes a lot of sense when I say this, and I don't want it to make it sound like it's I'm being ugly or I'm being brutal or I'm bullying or whatever the case may be. I want you to understand that sometimes cutting ties with your parents can be a very healthy thing. I know this is going to be very controversial for some of you saying, how could that possibly be? Well, there are situations that happen in life that create an atmosphere in which it's so toxic, it is so incredibly detrimental to the individual that you cannot possibly live through another day of being put under the kind of pressure that so many are put in under. Now, I know this might sound harsh or might sound a little bit unchristian, because it talks about in Scripture, and I'm going to throw this out here because this is what a lot of Christians use to beat the tar out of another Christian over the fact that you need to suck it up and just be the daughter or the son that you should be for your mom or your dad or what the case, whichever the situation is. It doesn't really matter much, but what does matter is exactly what I'm talking about, is that sometimes the situation gets so toxic, so incredibly wrong, that there is no other choice but to sever your ties with those that, I guess if nothing else, brought you into this world. I think it's interesting that a lot of people don't want to talk about this because it is so taboo, in so many ways, because we deal with this in a cultural situation. Like if you deal with the Latino community, it doesn't matter what happens. I mean, I have heard, and I'm not blaming socially. I'm not blaming the Latino community. This is a story that I have heard, and that I know first person it took place, and that it was so dramatically obscene that this person continued in a relationship with their family, especially with the dad, in regards to a young woman who was basically raped by her dad, and that she continued to honor him, even though the pain of seeing him every time that she saw him, that he basically violated her as a very young person, and pretty much destroyed her life for a long period of time until she finally came to a knowledge of Christ and sought forgiveness for him. But it still doesn't make what he did right, and it still didn't make what transpired something to have an honorable, if you will, from her perspective towards her parents, because her mother knew about it, and she did nothing. And this is not, and it's not indicative of the Spanish community, because it happens in the white community, it happens in the black community, it happens everywhere. And unfortunately, what we do is we don't talk about it. We sweep it under the rug, and especially if it's a Christian involved. And what do I mean by that? Because there's a thing that I think is so devastating is when you have someone who does victim shaming. In other words, the victim, the person that's in a toxic relationship with their parents, and it's so incredibly toxic that they can't even, on holidays or whatever, can't even go there without having some kind of incredible story to tell. I'll say it like that as best as I can say it, or something that was so drastically bad that it had to be dealt with in one way or another. And I'm going to share some things that probably will be very hurtful for some people to hear, but the fact is that at the same time, one of the only ways that a person can heal, and I want to say this in a way that I hope is genuine to those that are listening, the only way that some people can actually heal is to take the scab off of a large sore and clean the wound out. Because if the wound is still full of foul things, from one thing or another, and you can make the analogy any way you want, but my point that I'm making is this, is that so many times what we do is we allow ourselves to be sucked into, if you will, this narrative that you must, and I'll use a Christian side on this particular one, that you need to honor your mom or your dad no matter what happened. Now, I just gave you an example that's pretty radical. But what happens if your mom or your dad is a drug addict, and every time that they come around, they are institutionally and should be institutionalized, but yet our government will not do that anymore. And what happens when you call the police? They put you in detox, and then they throw you into the white jacket place for a little while, and then they cut you loose again to go and reoffend and redo exactly what you did prior to that individual. And if it's one of your children, then so be it. It doesn't really matter, because you're supposed to be a good son or a daughter, no matter what the situation looked like. And I want to tell you right now that is not biblical, and that is not in any way, shape, or form Christian, to put yourself back into that position and have your life destroyed because someone else cannot take care of their own. Now, I'm saying all of that to say this, is that much of what happens in life, and Scripture says that, and I know you're probably going to get sick of me hearing this, but this is what I know. This is what I know works. This is what I know is truth, is that it rains on the just and the unjust, which means God sees that happening. In other words, and he allows it to happen. But it is up to us to make a decision based our destiny in something that is radically better than the destiny of being in a relationship that is toxic and poisonous to our health, to our mental health, to our physical health, and to the health of our families, if you have one, and or to the family itself as a general rule. Now, how do I know that? Because I have a daughter that I have adopted that is going through one of the most horrendous things that anyone should do and shouldn't be doing it alone. And I pray that she's gotten a handle on it and she will continue getting a handle on it. But my point that I'm making is this, is that she's got a handle on it. In other words, she's gone through it, she's dealt with it, and she has made the determination that there cannot be any more relationship between mom and her, period, because of the fact that this woman is so toxic, so flat out, and I'll say it on the air, crazy, and should be institutionalized permanently. And the trouble is that America has come to this place in this culture war that everybody should have a second chance, third chance, 15th chance, 44th chance. The problem is what we've seen happen with all of these different chances is there's been some incredible catastrophes. Now, saying all of that to say this is that some of the things that we need to understand about what I'm talking about is that for those of you that have been suffering through a very unholy and very incredibly horrible situation with parents, whether it be your dad or whether it be your mom, is that you can make a difference and you can change that. And it's okay to walk away from it. It's not okay to stay in it. Do you hear what I just said? It's not okay to stay in it. Now, am I giving you license to leave? I'm giving you license to think about what would Jesus do, or what would someone with all of their faculties do if this situation was reversed and you were in. Now, let me give you an example, which I think is really pretty interesting, especially in this two-tiered theology of justice that we have in the world today, which is so woke and so stupid and so snowflakey that we're going to stay in a relationship that is detrimental to my health, mental and physical health, that I'm going to do this because I think that that's the right thing for you to do. And Christians turn around and, not knowing the facts, and or people in the flesh or people that think that they know you well and they know the other person well, that they think that it's the best thing for you to stay because that's what a dad or a mom or a sister or a brother or whatever should do. And I disagree wholeheartedly, because this is what happens. Let me share with you just a little thought. Now, if I was a child that I was under the age of accountability, I don't know what your age of accountability is, under 18, under 16, let's just use a biblical term, under the age of 12, and you're in a home where you're being bullied and you're being put down and you're being, and I'm not going to say the physical, because that you don't want to get started with that with me, because I don't want to be, I would go to jail if somebody beat a child and I saw it happen, because I'm telling you what, that person would stop beating that child because they would be the one getting beat and probably be me doing it. Just saying. But here's what I'm trying to tell you, is that if a child is put in a position, what would the state do? And I'm just going to use the state because that's as blatant as and corrupt as it gets, because they do stuff that's so stupid, especially the state of California, in regards to placing children and the things that they do. All you have to do is say that you're raising a hand against a child, and the first thing that you do is that they're going to come and they're going to take your child away from you, and they're going to put them in foster care, which is 9 times out of 10 worse than being in the home. But the point is that the kid's going to be removed from that family, right? That's what's going to happen. I don't care who you are. That's how it's going to go down. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your thoughts were. And you're going to have to get a boatload of attorneys to change that around if you're trying to get your kid back, if it was falsely done, or somebody said something false against you. And that's what would happen, right? But when you become an adult, listen carefully what I'm saying. When you become an adult, all of a sudden everything changes. Now you're supposed to be the responsible one for the one who is irresponsible, especially the one who is your family member. Now, I don't know about you, but then you have this victim shaming thing. He says that Jesus would not have done that. Jesus would have honored. And the Bible says, and I you know what? And sometimes I would like to take a giant-sized family Bible and beat the tar out of the people that are talking that way, because it's just not what Jesus would do. Jesus would not let you be in a hostile environment. Jesus is a God of security and peace and unity and love and care, and he would not let you be put in that place. But yet our so-called good friends and people of what you want to call good understanding, even some pastors, God bless them, do things that sometimes is totally irrational. And to say that this is a good thing for you to do, I'm not sure that I can go there. Now, why can't I go there? Because I've lived through it with a daughter that I've adopted. So I've saw it happen. I've had grown adults call her and say, you need to do something about your mom. Now, I don't know about you, but what would you do? I mean, really, I mean, think about it. What would you do? What I'm trying to say is that sometimes we need to understand that God does not say stay in relationship when it's toxic or when it's crazy. As a pastor, and I'll admit that to you, that's what I do. I'm a shepherd, and I sit down across the table from people who are sharing with me their pain. And I look at what they're saying, and then I listen to what they're saying, and then I have them say things, and which I can't get over sometimes, especially women. Men are just as bad. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, the deal of Adam and Eve and everybody blaming Eve for what happened to Adam. You know, Adam was a doofus as it was. I mean, what did he do? He went and ate the thing because she said so. I'm just saying. You know, there's enough garbage to go around and crap that you can throw on everybody. I'm just saying. But my point that I'm making is that so many of us don't understand that the concept of what's happening here, that you need to understand that you do not need to stay in a hostile environment simply because that's the thing to do. I'm not here to judge you, but I'm here to tell you, think, use your brain. God gave it to you. We only use 10% of what God has given us, and I think that's because of the fact that longevity has gone down from 120 years down to 70 years, and I think that's one of the reasons why we need to understand that the brain's not used to its maximum, and even they said, this will blow you away, Einstein only used 20% of his brain. And I'm not about you, but I'm thinking in the outset, if I've only got 10% to use, I'm going to use it the right way. And I'm not going to put myself in jeopardy. And I don't think you should either. I don't think that anybody should. Just the same thing as what happened for a young person that's been put into a family situation where that family situation has gotten caustic. It's gotten to a place that this kid is going to be changed forever because of something that may happen or has already happened to them. And you pray that the grace of God would be able to renew this person in a way that would cause them to be incredibly open to what, you know, the Holy Spirit or what God's Spirit can do in regeneration and making somebody whole again. That's what I'm talking about. There is safety in that, and you can win in this situation. You can actually come out of it. You can get a hand up and not a hand out. I'm tired of people telling, and the best thing for you to do is to be put in foster care. I don't like foster care, and I'm going to tell you this straight up, is that most of those people are in for the money, and I'm not saying that all are, but I'm saying a good portion of them are because it's very lucrative. That's what group homes are all about. That's what all these other things are all about. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that they're not good in the right context, for the right reason, for the right time. But don't allow yourself to be caught up in this thought process of victim shaming, saying you need to be a good son, you need to be a good daughter, you need to be a good sister or a good brother. Well, you know what? Sometimes it's just better that you separate and you get away from that so you can heal. One of the troubles that we have in society today is that we think that we are such a a chosen person, and that this insidious thing that we have going out of wokeness and pronoun nonsense and crap that they throw at you, saying that this is just not right, and then they throw up all over you like one of the when I was talking about trauma dumping, and I was talking about taking grievance collectors, and they go around and they sig this, and they got all this stuff, and the next thing you know, what happens is they throw up all over you, and you don't understand why. Well, the reason why is because you just happen to be there. And the trouble with that is you can either accept it, which many do, and what I was getting to in just a moment ago, is that when young women get into relationships with men, especially older men, or I would call men who have tempers, beat them, they have a tendency to leave that kind of relationship and go to another one just like it. Let me tell you, 9 out of 10 do. Why? I have no idea. Something about that brings security to them, and it is demented, and it's wrong. But the problem with it is that you need to understand that it is a problem and that you need to do something about it. Now, as a person of faith, I have to believe that God is capable of making something new out of something that has been wrecked, broken, crushed, thrown up on. Everything in our lives creates a situation where we are all, listen carefully what I'm saying here, that we are all conditioned to receive something. Many people don't understand the concept of what real love is, and they have substituted it for intercourse, or they've substituted it for pornography, or they've substituted it for some other sick thing. And in doing that, they have taken what God had ordained as something very special and made it something very ugly. Now, you can get out of that. It is okay to do that. It's okay to feel like you need to get out from underneath that. And one of the things that drives you and will continue to drive you is fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of what is out there. When I took an oath at juvenile court, which is hard to believe that I'm doing this for an adult woman as my daughter, they asked me a question, judge, a woman judge, by the way, very kind, incredibly gifted in her area. Anybody that could do what she does day after day with tiny children all the way up through adults has to be gifted and has to have the fire in her belly in regards to that. But she asked me a question. She said, can you be a father to this young woman? And I said, absolutely. Because she has never had one before. At least she has never had one that I have seen since she had been in our home since she was 13 years old. Now, all of this being said, we need to understand what is the outcome. What is going to be the outcome? If this situation was reversed and you were the one having to make the call, what would you do? And I'm gonna ask some of you to do something that you've never done before, and I'm gonna tell you something. It's gonna create some incredible opportunity for many of you to be healed in a way that you've never been healed before. Now, what do I mean by that? You've grown up in your life. You've had all of this stuff happen. You may have had a brother abuse you. You may have had a sister abuse you. You may have had other things happen in your life, which is just becoming more and more common than you can imagine. And then, or you could have had a dad, or you even had a mother that, which is real rare, but the fact is it does happen, abuse you in one way or another, and it has tainted you in the area of your marriage or in the area of your dating or the area of your workplace situations, and it's caused you to be introverted and all of these things. And I want to get into that in just a minute, but so let me do a little housekeeping first. So this is Hope for the Hurting, and this is your host, Mark Dornbush. If you don't know who I am, or if you want to know more about us, then I suggest that you go to Spotify and you click on the thing, say you like what you're hearing, you like what's being said, and that it's helping you, And tell three or four of the people. I am trying to build this podcast because I want people to be helped. I want people to have hope. I want people to become more solid and firm and whole. And the only way that that can happen is if they hear it. And so I'm saying all of that basically to say this, hope for the hurting. If you want to know more about our ministry or you want to hear about the Lighthouse, then go to lighthouselife.org and or Lighthouse Oakview, and you can see us on YouTube, and you can catch some of my stuff that we do on Wednesdays, and just a lot of things out there. And you know, go to the website, check it out, peruse through. There's hundreds of things to listen to, hundreds of sermons of one kind or another. And so that's enough for right now for housekeeping. Let's get back to this thought, victim shaming. Now, one of the things that happens, especially when you're a victim of what I'm talking about, is that you carry a lot of this baggage with you. Now, I want you to imagine your mind, and I want you to think on this for just a second, is that why do you react the way that you do in certain situations? Why, when pressed, especially when it's intimate or it has something to do with emotions, you shut down or you're recluse or you can't be open with certain people? How about this one? How about the fact that you find it incredibly easy to give your body away, or you have, it seems to be a very natural thing. Men don't have this problem as a general rule, but young women do. This is an area that you need to be careful about who you allow into that intimate side of you. I don't know how many young ladies that I have met that have had multiple relationships, never being married. And unfortunately, this situation is very common and it's very acceptable in culture, but it's very detrimental to your health. It's very detrimental to your person. And believe me, that is not what love is all about. Love is not a sensual thing. It is a balanced emotional thing that needs to be embraced in all aspects of life, not just what's between your legs and not what's between, it's between your head. It's between your ears. That's where it actually takes place. That's where the dopamine that is introduced into your bloodstream that makes you feel so good, euphoric and amazing when you're in a relationship, and that all of a sudden 6 months later, the chemistry stops. And when the chemistry stops, the relationship usually stops. And the next thing that happens is that you're wondering, what in the world was I doing and what was I thinking? Well, all of that being said, there is a way to get around that by not having that kind of relationship to begin with. Pick and choose wisely and be very careful. There is hope for you. There is hope because I know that Jesus can heal those emotional scars. And you can take that. The Holy Spirit is like vitamin E on a scar on your body, where you wipe it on there and the scar begins to evaporate or it begins to go away and your skin comes back to the same consistency it was before it was cut or it was damaged or it was injured. One of the things that we need to understand when we're in a relationship is that you're having a relationship based on a feeling, and the feeling will not last. So something much deeper must be involved in that. And you cannot allow yourself to be shamed into this feeling that, you know, one of the things that I see happening right now, there's a person that I know that is being in vitro'd, where they're having a baby without having a male companion. In other words, they're paying to have this done. And the reason why they're doing that is because they've come to an age where they believe that they're not going to get married and they're not going to have a family, and they want a family. And to have a family, that they have to pay a physician to do something that's quite incredibly painful, basically harvest eggs, find a sperm donor, someone out of a bank that you, not a bank, B-A-N-K, like bank where money is, but a place where they store sperm, if you will, and they artificially inseminate, and then they reinsert the egg back into the individual, the woman, and she goes to term and has a baby, just like you would normally have it. But there's some things that are missing there. What are they missing is that male companion. That's what God had intended to have happen, is that someone else was there to hold the hand. Of course, there's going to be a mom, problem, I'm hoping, and there's going to be someone else, you know, maybe a friend, that is going to help in that thing. But there are some things that are drastically empty, which makes the individual incredibly empty. And if you're not careful and you don't think this through the right way, what will happen is that you will begin, because what this all started with, the victim shaming, is that you're how old and you don't have a family, you don't have someone who wants you, or I mean, come on, can you see all of the stuff I'm talking about here? That's just going to just jump out at you and say, oh my God, here it is. But the thing is that if you can accept yourself for who you are, especially when it comes to the things that God has already planned for you in destiny, it's okay to be single. Listen carefully to me. It's okay to be single. Say that to yourself. It's okay to be single. It's okay to be out there without having that mate or having that situation where you have now become a family. It's okay. And there is no alternative to that. I'm sorry, you can make it up all you want, and a lot of people are going to get upset when I say this, but there's just no alternative to family. That's why the church needs to be family, not institution. That's why government needs to stop trying to be the family, and it's an institution, and it treats everybody like an institution. You're just a subject in a bunch of stand-up soldiers. This is how it is. Now, I'm not so sure that a lot of people don't understand this. And I'm sorry that if this busts your bubble, but there is hope for you. It's okay to be that way. If this is what God intended for your life, this is exactly how it will turn out. Both of my girls are unmarried. And they're, one's approaching their 30s, one's going to be approaching their 40s. Are they worried? No. What are they doing? They're walking the destiny. They're both owners of a store, and they're okay with that. They're doing what they believe God wants them to do, and it's not a bad thing. But don't let someone go out there and tell you that it's a bad thing because you're not this or you're not that. That has nothing to do with the outcome. Are you following me today? I hope this is helping somebody out there. I just tell you, I get so frustrated when I see people try to tell people this is how you should be. Now, let's take this a step further. And I wanted to, if anything, just throw this out there. One of the things that makes me incredibly uncomfortable is when a mom, and I will include a dad, will take their child and try to shape them into them. Did you hear what I just said? When I see that, my blood runs cold. It's like the little person that is the little girl that's such a doll. My Andrea was an incredibly cute little girl. And I mean, as a little one under 5 years old, I mean, oh my God, she could win the heart of anybody, melt them like in anybody, just unbelievable. But I'm not going to put her in a beauty pageant because I think that she's beautiful. You follow what I'm saying? I'm not going to take and drag her from place to place to place and make her perform like a seal and throw fish to her. That's not the way it's done. And you need to be careful if you're doing that to your child. You don't need to do that. I just saw there was an article on a podcast that was about a young woman who was part of the Nickelodeon group, and she just came out and said that she was glad. I know this is harsh. Don't take this wrong. She said she was glad her mother was dead. Now, what does that mean? Was she glad that she died? No, she had cancer and she died. She was glad that she passed away at peace and et cetera. But she had drug her through and made her who she was in regards to her career as a actor and as someone in the Nickelodeon group, and grew up in that thing and pushed her through that. And there were things that she enjoyed, but there were some things that she hated because she could not be herself. And the same is true of the guys that are out there. I grew up with a gentleman who was trying to make his 6'3" son a basketball player. Good baller. I mean, he was everything about him. He was great. But the thing was, he was trying to make him. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that you cannot push someone into something that they're not. The same drive that you had as a young person will not be the same drive as the child that you bear, or the cousin, or someone else that you're trying to mentor. Remember that. You are unique and special in God's sight, and so are those that are both offspring and those that are young people that you may be involved with. Youth worker that's out there, don't try to make people something they're not, and do yourself a favor. Treat them like royalty. Treat them like hands off. Don't do anything that will disrupt or destroy. We had that just happen in Ventura County, a young man that had a relationship with one of his youth girls. And he got caught, and he's spending time in penitentiary, because it's against the law to do that. The thing is that now it's destroying the church and destroying the people around. Why? Because that's exactly what happens. We cannot allow ourselves to be caught up in that situation. Do not be victim shamed into doing something that you know is not good for you. Are you hearing me? I hope so. I want to say a couple of the things that I want to address before we close today, that I know that this is probably a desperate time for so many people, especially with COVID and all these other stuff that's going on. There are so many ugly things that have happened, so many ugly things, and so many things that I believe can be fixed, if you will, if you would just look to your higher power. Now, I'm not talking about looking to a higher power on planet Earth or flesh. I'm talking about supernatural higher power. And I'm talking about being vulnerable, being at a place. I don't know if you meditate. I don't know if you pray. I don't know what you do. I mean, everybody that's out there is listening are different. Every one of you are different. I'm different. You're different. We're all different, unique in many ways. There are certain things. There's hot buttons that will push you to doing things. There's things that will make you react. I don't want you to react to what I'm talking about today. What I want you to do is I want you to find peace in it. In other words, there's some things that you can do, and I want to share this with you briefly, and I hope that you would take advantage of this so that you can have wholeness in your life. Everything that's gone on in your life that has caused you pain, no matter what it is, and especially if it's victim shaming or if it's toxic relationship with a parent or a situation like that, there's going to have to be someone that's going to replace that parent. There's got to be someone that you can trust, that you look to give you good sound advice, good sound sounding wall where you can bounce things off of them, and get them to respond. Now, I'm not sure that for many of us that we have that, and you might have to start looking for that person. But the only way that I can help you is if you contact me and tell me your story and let me send something back to you. I can do that. I've done that in the past, and I could do that again. But what I want you to see today is this. There is a God who sent his son to the planet, this planet, the one that we call Terra Firma. This is the one we call Earth. And what he did is he sent his son that he might redeem you, which means take you back from where you're at, because we beat ourselves up way too much. I bet you're probably doing the same thing, especially if any of these things have touched you in any way. If you allow yourself to be touched by what God wants to do in your life, all you have to do is this. Say, Lord Jesus, I want you to come and I want you to wash my mind of all of these toxic images and toxic things. And I want you to restore a clear and clean and purified mind and heart so that I might be able to do the things that I need to do to become free from this thing that I carry around, the baggage that I have. My baggage is sometimes huge and sometimes big. It just depends, and it's fascinating how many bags you can put in one of those large suitcases. But I know that for many of us, we hide what we do and we hide it pretty well, and we have great looking masks, and we take these masks and we use them to hide who we really are. And today I want you to stop hiding who you are and confess that to God. Say, Father, here I am. In Jesus' name, please clarify my mind, make my heart clean, and create in me an attitude and a place where I can be changed and be real. There's hope for you. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. There is hope for you. Jesus went to a cross for just you. And he's gonna turn it around. And you don't have to be a Democrat. You don't have to be Republican. You don't have to be Greenpeace. You don't have to be a climate changer. All you have to be is someone willing to be changed and heard from on high. And God is waiting to listen to your voice. I hope that this has helped you. And if it hasn't, maybe something that we've talked about in the past will, or what we're going to talk about in the future will. But share this with some people. Share it with people that might be hurting, that are having challenges just like you're having challenges. And I want to tell you that Hope for the Hurting is here for you. I want to hear from you. Share this with somebody. Give this to somebody. Let them think about it. And we will be back next week. And as we come together and we share these things, you can find us here on Spotify and other places. But be part of the answer. Be part of the solution by allowing somebody to be your friend. Let me be your voice. Let me be your go-to so that you can be free and live a life worth living. Great to be with you today. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May his light shine upon you wherever you go. Wherever you go, bless somebody. I know that might be hard, but it's a good thing. Just remember this, that no matter what happens, it's caused you pain or caused you issues that have hurt you, there's always an answer, always a way out. Hope for the Hurting's here for you, so I want to hear from you. Get a hold of us at info, that's I-N-F-O, at lighthouselife, L-I-F-E, .org, lighthouselife.org. Have a great day.